Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It whispered in their ears, dragged them from their beds. This isn't just a ghost story. This was war. It's one of the most bizarre, horrifying hauntings in American history. The Smurl family thought they purchased a fixer-upper, a duplex, in a quaint town in Pennsylvania. What they got was something else. Over the next 15 years, they said the entities in the home tormented them, watched them, hunted them, attacked them. That's when Ed and Lorraine Warren arrived. The famous paranormal investigators behind the Amityville investigation. Armed with holy water and cassette recorders, they walked straight into the Smurls' home on Chase Street and said evil was already there. You're about to hear the story of the Smurl haunting, one of the most disturbing paranormal cases ever recorded, and the case behind the newest Conjuring film, Last Rites. All right, you know I like to get right into it. Our story begins in West Pittston, Pennsylvania. A small, quiet town, the kind of place where people leave their doors unlocked. And nothing crazy ever really happens. At the center of our story is the Smurl family, consisting of Jack and Janet Smurl and their daughters, and an unassuming duplex on Chase Street. Jack Smurl was a quiet man who worked long shifts as a technician at the Topps chewing gum plant. His wife Janet, warm, reserved, stayed home to raise their four daughters, Dawn, Heather, and the twins, Shannon and Karen. Also at the center of our story is Jack's older parents, John and Mary. The family was very close. They were devout Catholics. And the only reason they moved into the duplex was because of the flood. Before this, in 1972, Hurricane Agnes tore through Wilkes-Barre and surrounding towns, submerging entire neighborhoods. The Smurls lost nearly everything. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but their house was unlivable, so they left. August 1973, they found something. A duplex on Chase Street in the sleepy nearby town of West Pittston. 3 stories, 8 bedrooms, and an unfinished basement. It was definitely a fixer-upper. It was built in 1896. Jack's parents suggested they buy the entire duplex, so they would take one side and Jack and Janet and the girls would take the other. They poured time, money, and love into the duplex. Scraping, painting, rewiring, and patching up the old bones of the place. West Pittston was once a very prosperous mining town. This dwindled after the mines closed, but it seemed like a solid place to raise their daughters. When first walking through the place, the duplex seemed pretty ordinary, but the Smurls didn't know that the home they were about to move into had a sinister reputation around town. Locals reported seeing haunting faces staring at them through the windows of the house as they passed by, when the house was supposed to be empty. Police would make regular visits to the home to investigate strange disturbances. Those who lived on the street heard odd noises coming from the home at all hours of the day and night. There was also a rumor that the people who had lived there previously had practiced witchcraft in the house. Was there truth to any of it? Or was it just small-town folklore? The Smurls were about to find out. After moving in, things were really settling into place for the family. Jack and Janet became involved in the community. The Smurls were known as very friendly and well-respected. Things were going well. Jack even earned a promotion at work. The girls started at the local Catholic school. The family joined the Immaculate Conception Parish, just down the road. And no one really felt the need to tell them about the rumors that their new house was supposedly haunted. The family seemed pretty happy, until they weren't. Something had already made itself at home on Chase Street. The activity began with minor things, very subtle. And at first, it was easy to blame the house. It was over 75 years old, with dry wood and rusted pipes. Drafts slipped under doors. Noises echoed throughout the house. But just months after moving into the duplex on Chase Street, the Smurls began to notice strange things. There was something off about the house. It began with a stain that appeared across the brand new living room rug that Mary had purchased for their side of the duplex. They're making themselves at home. Mary unrolls this rug and finds this big stain in the middle of it. The stain was dark, oily, and still wet. Mary's looking at it like, what? Where did this come from? This wasn't there before. It's a brand new rug. So John and Mary give it a cleaning. But 2 days later, the stain reappears. They continued to try and scrub it, but it would always come back. They couldn't figure out what this dark substance was. Renovations on the duplex took a while, but the family noticed that even after replacing pipes, they would burst, springing leaks everywhere. Tools Jack would use around the house, hammers, paintbrushes, screwdrivers, began vanishing mid-project, only to turn up days later in the attic, or worse, in the dark basement where no one had been. Jack and John would spend hours on projects, as most of the time was spent looking around the house searching for their misplaced tools. Jack and Janet really wanted to have a nice bathroom, so they spent a pretty penny and remodeled their bathroom to their liking. The day after completing this, they walked in to find their sink and bathtub had been violently scratched up by something. And we're not talking tiny scratches. There were huge chunks ripped out of the porcelain. And this was before they even got a chance to use it. Then came the stains in their dining room, seeping through coats of fresh paint, as if something behind the walls refused to be covered up. And then something seemingly impossible happened. One evening in 1974, Jack was alone, watching a movie, when suddenly, the television burst into flames. It was insane, like it had been torched. Jack was stunned. It left behind $200 in damage and more questions than answers. Other appliances began to catch fire in the duplex randomly and without any rational explanation. But the Smurls told themselves that it was the house settling. Plumbing issues, faulty wiring. It was an old house. I mean, to me, this sounds like a big bag of red flags, but, you know, hey, that's just me. But then, get this, Jack's car went up in flames. That was harder to brush off. What was going on here? By early 1975, things were escalating in a big way. The couple's daughter, Dawn, just 9 years old, was too scared to sleep in her bedroom, frequently running to her parents' room to sleep. When they asked her why she was afraid to sleep in her bedroom, Dawn told them there were people floating around her room, and these people really scared her. These nights when Dawn would run into their room frightened, Jack would run in, investigate, but never found anyone in her room.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Everyone was becoming unsettled in this house. The toilets would flush in the middle of the night when everyone was asleep. Then came the smell. Early one morning, around 6 a.m., the kitchen filled with the stench of rotting meat. So strong it made Janet gag. But within 10 minutes, it was gone. Like it was never there to begin with. This awful smell would fade in and out of the home frequently. Then footsteps began echoing from the attic. Heavy. Deliberate. Jack climbed up with a flashlight, expecting to find an intruder or maybe a raccoon. But the attic was empty. Undisturbed. One of the most common occurrences was the banging that seemed to be coming from inside the walls. We are collecting red flags at this point. Just one after another after another. And the neighbors noticed this activity too. One day, Mary Kowalski, a neighbor who lived a couple doors down, called to ask about the sounds she heard the night before. Banging, voices, strange thuds. But the Smurls had all been asleep. This activity, small, unexplainable, continued for months, for years. By 1977, the activity had progressed, and the Smurls had a big change in the house. That year, Janet gave birth to twins, Shannon and Karen, and their modest duplex suddenly felt crowded. Jack worked long hours. Mary, his mother, suffered a heart attack in the spring and had to be hospitalized. The stress of it all was very real, but what came next wasn't just stress. Early one morning, Jack and Janet woke up to this strange creaking sound. They followed the sound downstairs to the front door, opened it up, to find their lawn chairs rocking in front of their eyes, as if someone was sitting in them. Bye. Red flag. And another one. It wasn't windy. There was no fan. There was no explanation for this. The Smurls would joke about the house having a ghost, but up until that point, it seemed pretty harmless. Another early morning around 2 a.m., the family was jolted awake by static blaring from radios in the living room. They found the radios were unplugged, completely disconnected. Cold spots began appearing in their bedroom, dipping to 45 degrees despite a working furnace. You could see your breath in the dark. And this is where things start to get out of control. Jack described something horrifying. Late one night, he said he woke up to the feeling of a hand, cold, invisible, rubbing his arm. He slowly turned over, expecting it was his wife, but he saw Janet was fast asleep. Then in 1978, the voices began. One afternoon, the house was empty. Janet went down to the basement to do some laundry. The house was quiet. Her kids were gone for the day, husband at work. It was time for her to catch up on some chores. With laundry basket in hand, she begins throwing the dirty clothes into the machine, grabs the detergent, when suddenly, she hears a voice from behind her, calling out her name. Janet. She stops and pauses. She knew she was home alone, so she believes it's her imagination. It's gotta be. Then she hears it again, a woman's voice calling out her name, Janet. She said it wasn't a yell, it was this eerie whisper, and it was disturbing, as the voice had a mocking tone to it. She begins looking around frantically, but there's no one in sight, just a cold, dark, empty basement. Janet's horrified and slowly backs towards the stairs. Then she hears the voice again. Janet. And then, again. Janet. Janet's heart is racing, the voice continuing to call out to her. In a moment of bravery, Janet yells out, "What do you want?" Silence. Only the sound of the washing machine. As she began to make her way up the steps, she heard it again. Janet. She wasn't imagining this. It was real. She tore up the stairs, slamming the basement door behind her. Up until this point, the ghost in their house seemed friendly, didn't appear to want to hurt the family. But this felt different, sinister, like it enjoyed her fear. John and Mary knew how stressed Jack and Janet were with the activity in the house and now four kids to care for. They were pretty worried for their son and his wife. John and Mary swore they heard Jack and Janet fighting in their bedroom. It was so loud they could hear it all the way next door. Huge shouting match. They thought, wow, they're really having a hard time. So much anger and screaming. One day, they were listening to the couple really screaming at each other through the wall. John and Mary were growing concerned for Janet's well-being. So John decides it's time to break it up. He leaves their side of the duplex, walks next door, opens Jack and Janet's front door to find the entire family, including Jack and Janet, quietly and peacefully sitting in the family room, watching a movie. John is completely baffled and says, "We heard you. We heard the fighting." And Jack's like, "What are you talking about? We've been down here watching a movie the entire time. I'm telling you, this house is weird." Looking at this, I guess you would have to say that the spirits in the home were powerful enough to mimic Jack and Janet's voices. So what else could they do?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And as we covered, it wasn't just the family hearing these things. Neighbors often reported strange sounds coming from the house. Neighbor Tom Riley called late one night. He'd heard screaming coming from inside the duplex. But on this night, the Smurls weren't even home. And then came the first true sighting of something no one could explain. Janet was again home alone in the kitchen ironing when she felt a cold burst of air. She looked up and saw a shadowy-like human figure in the corner of the room, standing there, watching her. Its outline was that of a person, but its body was this shadowy, smoke-like substance. Janet looks and sees its face and says it has no features. Frozen in fear, she stared back at it. It began to slowly move towards her. The shadow figure moved closer and closer until it was right in front of her face, millimeters away. It then moved straight through her, then out of the kitchen, into the living room. Janet turns and looks into the living room and sees the shadowy figure has disappeared. She's terrified, so she runs next door to John and Mary's. She runs inside and finds Mary sitting in a chair, and as she enters the room, Mary barely acknowledges her presence. Janet knows she's still recovering from a heart attack, so maybe she just wasn't feeling well. But it wasn't that. Mary said she thought she was losing her mind, as just before Janet had burst through the door, there was a black, shadowy figure that walked through the wall into their hallway before disappearing. Mary continued to see these shadow figures on numerous occasions, and strangely, she said it felt like they were calling her, trying to pull her in. That foul smell continued to pop up and spread throughout the house. Jack looked everywhere, but they could never find where that rancid smell was coming from. And as we know, that really horrific smell is often associated with demonic activity. The family said they would have weeks between these events. Something would happen, the family would be freaked out, but then it would go back to peace and quiet for a while. Enough time for the family to kind of get comfortable again, let their guards down. And the Smurls said they didn't want to move. This was their home. They had built a life for themselves there. But the activity continued, getting more intense by the month. One night, Janet was in the kitchen with her daughters. One of the girls had her Holy Communion coming up. The family was going to be leaving for church in the next hour. So Janet was in the kitchen ironing her daughter's dress for this very special day, when suddenly, the girls heard a faint creaking sound and were able to quickly jump out of the way as a huge light fixture that was hanging above the dinner table came crashing down. Jack inspected it and was puzzled. It didn't seem like anything was loose. He had no idea how or why it fell. Even stranger, the ceiling had so much damage. It looked like someone had ripped the fixture out of its place. And then the attacks began. The Swirls' house wasn't just haunted, it was hostile. Jack was taking a nap one day when Janet and the girls were out shopping. He nodded off and later woke up to find himself floating a few feet off the mattress. He began moving around until he dropped back down on the bed. On another occasion, Janet was yanked, pulled off the bed one night by some unseen force. Jack tried to pull his wife back, trying to get whatever was pulling her to stop, and it finally did. They smelled that rancid odor, and the banging started coming from inside the walls. Loud, horrifying thuds. On another occasion, Janet woke with deep scratches on her arms. Three long marks, parallel, like claws. On another occasion, their daughter Dawn was shoved down the stairs. There were no loose floorboards, no one behind her. This dark entity in the home seemed more powerful than it had ever been, with the ability to attack, push, shove, and hurt the family. The Smurls had two priests come to the home to bless it on two separate occasions. And each time, the activity would die down for a while, but always picked back up and got worse. The girls told their parents they would hear this strange sound in their room, like fluttering, like some sort of creature with wings was flying around. Jack and Janet saw this strange smoke-like mist in their bedroom on several occasions. Jack's parents on the other side of the duplex continued to see and hear activity as well. The entity took the form of what looked like a person. The girls saw it run into their parents' bedroom, vanish into their wardrobe, and disappear. It was just one strange thing after another. One fall day, the neighbors heard screams again, but they found at this time the house was empty. The Smurls were at church. I find this especially creepy. One day, a neighbor is seeing and hearing strange activity coming from the Smurls' house when she knew the family wasn't home, so she picks up the phone and calls the Smurls' house, just wanting to see, and a young girl answers. This neighbor asks, "Who is this?" The young girl on the other end of the phone began laughing and laughing. Finally, the call disconnected. This neighbor calls back, but no one answered. And she was horrified when she found out that the Smurls were indeed not home that day. This neighbor has no idea who she talked to on the phone, but didn't believe it was someone living.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
By the end of 1985, the family was living in constant fear. Doors locked, lights on at all hours. And that's when they decided to seek help. And this would bring the most famous paranormal investigators in the country to their front door. Janet Smurl picked up the phone, and on the other end of the line was Ed and Lorraine Warren. Janet had gotten their information from a local professor who was interested in the paranormal. He gave Janet the Warren's phone number, saying, "Maybe they can help you." Ed and Lorraine Warren are the most famous paranormal investigators, I would say, ever. Ed, a demonologist, and Lorraine, a clairvoyant, famous for their recent work on the Amityville case. And now Ed and Lorraine Warren were coming to Chase Street. It seems the families connected as they were both Catholics. A few days after speaking with Janet about the activity in the home, Ed and Lorraine Warren got to the house, bringing a team with them, a psychic and a photographer. They came armed with infrared cameras, audio recorders, and crucifixes. What followed was months and dozens of visits from the Warrens. Overnight stays, and stories that would soon grip the nation. As they usually did, the Warrens sat down with the Smurls and got a sense of what was going on in the home. Lorraine Warren and the psychic they brought along do a tour of the house. As a clairvoyant, Lorraine Warren said she sensed four distinct entities in the duplex. The first, an elderly woman, quiet, confused, possibly a former resident who died in the house and was possibly suffering from dementia before passing away. Appearance-wise, she was scary, but Lorraine didn't believe she was harmful. Next, a young woman. Lorraine said she was angry, potentially violent, and insane. Also haunting the place was a middle-aged man who died in the home decades ago, lingering in pain, and something else, a fourth presence, a demon, horned, towering, in control of the others. Lorraine believed it was focused on destroying the Smurl family, incapable of controlling the other spirits in the home. This demonic entity had likely been on the property for decades, but for some reason, began terrorizing the Smurl family. Going on to say this entity would feed off the family's energy, like batteries. The more they were scared, afraid, worried, the more powerful the entity became. Ed Warren tells the Smurl family there are four stages of demonic activity: infestation, oppression, possession, and then death. And he believed the family was well into the stages at this point. The Warrens' first night in the house was quiet until around 11 p.m. The Warrens saw what the Smurls were living with. Mirrors in the bedroom would move. A small unplugged TV lit up. In the static, they looked and said they could see figures, like they were staring back at the family through the TV screen. Ed Warren recited a prayer, raised a crucifix, and told the family to sprinkle holy water around the home when there was activity. The Warrens were trying to collect as much evidence as they could to take to the local church so they could perform an exorcism. And the activity continued. Janet was slapped by an unseen force. Strange, loud banging sounds continued coming from inside the walls. And the family said the TVs would pop on, and they continued to see those figures in the static, like they were watching them. And this is really scary. One night, Janet is in the bathtub trying to relax when suddenly she got the feeling she wasn't alone. And then she heard it, whistling. She said it sounded like a group of drunken men. And this is where the haunting really takes a turn. One night, Jack woke up around 2 a.m. to the sound of two female voices whispering to each other. Half asleep, he thinks it's Janet or his daughters. But when he opens his eyes, he sees two women in old-fashioned dresses at the end of his bed, then vanish before his eyes. Hours later, he again woke up to the sound of those women whispering. They were close. He opened his eyes and saw them standing in the corner of the room. One of these women appeared to be in her 40s, and the other was a bit younger, in her late teens or early 20s. They continued whispering to each other until the younger woman turned to Jack, her lips curled into a very unnatural, exaggerated smile. He's trying to wake up Janet, elbowing her, but she didn't wake up. So he just laid there, staring at these women, and they stared right back at him. Jack tried to scream, but it was like no noise would come out. The two women were both now smiling at Jack as they continued to whisper to one another. And so finally, they began walking backwards and disappeared into the darkness of the bedroom. The Smurls are in contact with the Warrens on a very regular basis, and the activity was getting much more intense. Ed suggested religious provocation, which is a ritual Ed felt could force the demon to reveal itself. And so they did. And this was pretty terrifying, according to reports, with Ed Warren being choked to the point of almost losing consciousness by unseen hands. One day, Jack experienced something that he would struggle to talk about for the rest of his life. Jack was again asleep in bed when he woke up to something in the room with him. A foul-smelling, decaying figure appeared, female in form. By the time he saw her, she was already crawling towards him. Red sunken eyes, teeth rotting. Her hair was long and messy. He later described this woman as a succubus, a demonic entity that assaulted him, saying the attack lasted 10 minutes. 10 minutes of terror he couldn't move through. Janet was asleep next to him, unaware this was happening. The woman then disappeared back into the darkness of the bedroom. The next day, Jack tells Janet everything, and she gets really emotional. And their daughter Dawn comes in and tells them that she had a horrible nightmare. She had seen this entity attack her father. And just weeks later, Janet would say the same thing happened to her, attacked by something she couldn't see. The couple continued to reach out to their local church for help, but they didn't appear to take the family's claim seriously. On one evening, when the Warrens visited the home to investigate, a black shape began to form in the corner of the room. Ed later said it felt like it was watching him, and it wasn't alone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Another report stated the next morning, Lorraine entered the upstairs bathroom and screamed. Written on the mirror, in red lipstick, were two words: get out. She swore no one in the house had done it. Over the following months, the Warrens documented audio tapes of knocking, whispers, and growls. They filmed a dark figure crossing a hallway. But that tape mysteriously disappeared. Ed claimed it was handed over to a television producer, and possibly to the Catholic Church, but no one could confirm its whereabouts. Clearly, the local Catholic Church the Smurls were reaching out to wasn't going to help, so the Warrens decided to go ahead on their own. They planned to bring Father Robert F. McKenna, a traditional Catholic priest from Connecticut, to perform an exorcism. The night before he arrived, Jack again woke to whispering. The two smiling women were back, and this time, they had the middle-aged man with them. In the corner of the room, they stood, watching. Jack said this man then walked over to the bed, leaned over, got right into his face, and said, "You will pay for this," over and over and over, while the two women continued whispering and laughing at Jack. The three then disappeared into the darkness. The next day, the exorcism was performed, and what happened that night terrified the family. Loud banging shook the walls. That smell of sulfur and rotting meat returned, stronger than ever. Two more exorcisms followed, each one offering temporary relief. But by summer, the shadows were back. The stench returned. The house was still not clean. And everyone surrounding this case was beginning to get sick. The Smurls and the Warrens. And the attacks continued. One day, Jack and Janet were horrified. The Smurls' 16-year-old daughter, Dawn, was attacked by the entity one day. Everyone was continually seeing things in the home. No member of the family was safe. And Jack began seeing a new apparition. An animal-like creature, 8 feet tall. And the couple's daughter, Shannon, said she was seeing a strange man who smelled bad in her bedroom, who watched her. I have officially lost track of how many entities are in this home. It's insane. No one could escape the haunting. Even people at Jack's work said strange things started to happen around the office. Phones would malfunction. The radios would make these strange, eerie noises. And that foul, putrid smell would hit workers when Jack was in the office. The family's health was going downhill. They were sleep-deprived, tired. And as you can imagine, the public was starting to take notice. Next came the national spotlight. Word about the Smurl haunting spread. The family shared their story with a journalist, and everything changed in 1986 when the Associated Press picked up the story, and then TV stations and newspapers were all reporting on the Smurl family haunting. Within days, Chase Street was a circus. Neighbors watched in disbelief as TV crews, documentary filmmakers, and hundreds of onlookers crowded the block. CNN rolled in. A German film team began interviewing residents. Bricks were thrown through the Smurls' windows. Police had to barricade the street. The girls would see people climbing trees looking into their bedrooms. The neighbors who lived in houses surrounding the Smurls were not only bothered by the constant press and crowds on the street, but six separate families reported strange activity in their homes. They were starting to hear banging in their walls, bad odors, and the sound of someone screaming in the middle of the night. It was like the haunting was spreading. I actually didn't even know that was possible. Then came the book, the movie, and the fallout. The Smurls signed a deal for a book called The Haunted. Some called it brave, others called it exploitation. The reviews were pretty brutal. Critics said the book lacked evidence, and one reviewer called it a cash grab wrapped in poor writing. In 1991, The Haunted aired as a made-for-TV movie. 10 million viewers watched. Some saw horror, a family tormented. But others saw a family chasing attention. As you can imagine, not everyone bought the story. Skeptics saying, it's a hoax, a ghost story, and not a particularly good one. Many pointed to Jack Smurl's brain surgery in 1983. Swelling left him with short-term memory loss. Others blamed financial strain, Janet's isolation as a stay-at-home mom, and Mary Smurl's declining health. Dr. Robert Gordon, a psychologist, called it mass hysteria, a modern-day Salem, sheer delusions under intense pressure. Even the Catholic Church was hesitant to get involved. Father Joseph Adonizio blessed the house, but said he saw nothing out of the ordinary. Father Alphonsus Traubold, an exorcist, visited and found no signs of demonic activity, just creaky pipes and faulty wiring. Another priest who stayed two nights in the house in August reported nothing. Then there were the environmental factors. A nearby sewer line had many complaints from 1975 to 1985, and this may have caused the foul smells. And a mine subsidence beneath the neighborhood, documented in geological surveys, may explain some of the activity and sounds. But the most damaging blow came when the family and Warrens refused to allow independent investigators into the property, and when Jack Smurl began negotiating with a Hollywood producer just days later. Skeptics said the story was over. Eventually, a giant prayer night was held at the Smurls' home, the family finally feeling support, and their house felt peaceful for the first time in years. They said weeks passed by with no activity, but then it started again. Jack was in his bedroom one day when he saw the shadowy figure reappear. It was all beginning again. The family said they were terrified. The haunting picked back up. Eventually, with money from the book and movie, the family had the means to move and said goodbye to the duplex on Chase Street. Say it with me now. Finally. Whew, oh my gosh. New residents in the home haven't experienced any strange activity. Or if they have, they haven't reported it. Both of Jack's parents are now deceased, as is Jack himself, who died in 2017. Janet and her adult daughters live near West Pittston. So what do we make of this? Were the Smurls truly victims of something paranormal? I personally believe there was something paranormal going on there. It's hard to dismiss so many different claims from so many different people, not just in the family, but neighbors as well. But what do you think? Let me know, and also tell me which haunting do you want to see next on the show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.